Portions of this program may portions be pre-recorded. Of this program may be pre-recorded.
Joining us now, Congressman Rob Whitman, running for re-election in the 1st District. That's the Northern Neck and Fredericksburg area. Congressman Whitman, great to have you.
John, it's great to be with you this morning. Thanks for the opportunity.
Congressman, thank you for being one of our sponsors in our great election night broadcast tonight. Without your sponsorship, we couldn't make this possible, sir. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for being on and giving up-to-date reports and great analysis.
Tell me about the 1st District. You've been out and about, I know, this morning meeting, voters shaking hands. How does it feel? How does it look, sir?
Well, John, here in my home county, I was at my home precinct this morning. Good, steady turnout. Talked to a lot of folks going in the polls. They're all very enthusiastic about today and having their chance to come out and cast their vote, supporting the president. I talked to our precinct captains in the upper part of the county. This is a small precinct. There were over 30 folks waiting in line at 6 o'clock this morning. So great turnout, nice and steady. And these are polling locations that have always been very, very good to not only myself in my years serving from local government to state government to the federal level, but also to our Republican candidates. So I feel very good about how things are going. Now we'll go from here to several other polling locations throughout the district, from here to King George, and then to Stafford, and then to Hanover County, and then back up to Stafford. We'll be in Stafford this evening. So we're trying to get to as many places as we can and get out there and talk to folks. But great conversation today with folks. Of course, growing up here in a small little town, I know most everybody coming to the poll, so it's a great chance to say hello to folks, have some conversations, and catch up on things. So from asking folks about what's happening on the farm, and I was talking to a friend of mine I grew up with, asking him how corn harvest have gone this year. So it's just little things like that. So it's really a good down-home day when we're out there talking to folks at the poll.
In your home precinct, just a turnout today, game day, you've been voting there, you know it like the back of your hand. Are we up, we down? Mm-hmm. Give me a sense of the turnout.
Well, listen, I would say we're up. And remember the large number of people that have voted early. So if you take that, this is a very, very steady turnout. And again, just as you point out, and again, this is all anecdotal, but
of course,
you know, looking at the folks that are turning out this morning, they're the folks that have told me and have told others, hey, listen, I'm coming out on November 3rd to vote. And these are folks that are, you know, strong supporters of the president. And they're just saying, I'm coming out today to vote. So it's good to see that steady stream of folks going to the polls.
Well, I tell you what, when we did our analysis, the RNC overlaid the analysis in Virginia. Basically, on game day, we expect that Trump is going to win the game day Virginia vote 65%. Mm-hmm. To 30%. So we're going to win it by almost 35, you know, 5% for
sure,
other third-party candidates. But we're going to win game day by a tremendous margin. You know, the Democrats ran up, you know, a big score on early voting, obviously, and also with the mail-in ballots. But they underperformed. When we looked at their core precincts, this is why we have a shot in Virginia, and I'm not giving you hype. They've underperformed. Because right now they've got out about a million some voters. I have to look the exact number up. I had it earlier, but I just know that they have underperformed where they need to be. And if we get our vote out today, Virginia could be a shocker, Rob.
Well, I tell you, it's good strong turnout this morning. And just as you point out, and again, this is anecdotal, nothing scientific about it, but just from the folks that I know here in the Montrose area, and folks I know here in the county, I would say that, you know, your estimates are pretty spot on as far as the people coming out to the polls today. And just as you've said, you know, the early voting, you know, we know the percentages there. So we have good strong turnout today, and that's what we need, you know, on the, I call it the end of the election. While today is election day, I tell folks this year it's different. You know, the the election was from September 15th through October, through November the 3rd.
Right.
Not, you know, everybody says, oh, election's November the 3rd. I'm like, no. Election time is much, much broader today. So,
it's like election season, right? Not election day anymore. Here are the numbers. I shared these at the 6 o'clock hour. We're with Republican Congressman Rob Whitman running for re-election in the 1st District in Virginia. That's Northern Neck, Culpeper, out through Hanover. So, Rob, here's what I got from our campaign. And also, same thing that Target Smart had, which is a Democratic pollster, basically. Early voting through 10:30, which was the final day, that Saturday. There were about 2,300,000 ballots cast. They estimated that the Democrats got 1.1 million, or about 49% of those. Mm-hmm. Republicans got 872,000, or about 38%. So that's the 11-point margin that all the fake polls are showing Trump down in Virginia. So that's consistent. There was another 13% that couldn't identify. So you figure, they go to Biden 3-2, basically. We'll give them that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that gives them the 13-point lead that showed up in CNU and the Roanoke poll. But of the estimated total turnout in Virginia based on past performance, 53% have already voted, leaving 46% to vote on game day. Of that 46%, Trump is expected to get 60% of that, Biden 35%, based on our modeling. So if we get the turnout above what we got in 16, Trump can actually win Virginia.
Mm-hmm. No, listen, I think that there's a lot of different dynamics in this election cycle. The early voting dynamic, which is much different now than it ever has been, and I agree. I mean, you always sort of estimate what's going on by seeing what's happening at the polls on election day, and we see what's happening now, and just as you said, projecting the number of folks have indicated about when they're going to vote, and that is Republicans are much, much more likely to show up on November the 3rd. The Democrats much more likely to vote early, and that's been the whole Democrats' plan, is for early voting. In many instances, though, if you look at the overall turnout in many areas, it's under what the Democrats had estimated. So if their numbers are under, and then we have a good showing today, which, you know, as I said, anecdotally, we're seeing this morning, at least here in a micro snapshot of what's happening, then yes, things can turn out very, very differently than what pollsters may prognosticate.
And the thing is,
I was not talked to a lot of folks at the polls this morning, and of course, you know, several of them brought it up, not me, about polling and pollsters, and it's interesting how folks view polling today. They view it with a high degree of suspicion and cynicism, and for a lot of folks, it said, hey, listen, nobody's ever called me, or if I get a call, you know, I refuse to answer it. So the question becomes, you know, what are polls sampling? And if there is already, you know, a built-in bias as far as your sampling pool, what are the polls reflect? I always tell folks, I said, listen, you know, the only poll that truly means anything is the poll that's taken you know, this year from September 15th through November the 3rd, and that is people going and casting their vote.
What is really going to make the difference here is from all the trends we've seen now in the morning, Trump voters are coming out. They're coming in huge numbers. Every call that I've got has given me numbers that are 2X and 3X what they normally have at this particular time. They're all Trump voters. Means they're coming out. The trend is being set. But here's the deal. The Democrats have no ground game. They're powerless to do anything. So if you're Susan Schwecker and you're sitting there, or you're Abigail Spanberger, or you're Elaine Loria, what are you going to do? You have no volunteers on the ground. You have no way to get your voters out. They already voted. And you've told them, don't go out on game day. You might die. So you can't go vote. So what are they going to do? Call them up now and say, go vote and die? I mean, and they have no people to get them out because they have no ground game, because they don't want to go out in public. So they have nothing. They are powerless to stop this wave. This is why, Rob, we're going to win today. Trump is going to get elected today because you're going to get the same wave. We're hearing it. It's forming in Florida, North Carolina, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. This is not just isolated to Chesterfield or Hanover, all right? It's a trend that is going on across the country. Trump voters turning out this morning in tremendous numbers. This is the fear the Democrats have. They have no power to stop it. They have no power to combat it. They have no antidote. They just have to sit and wait and sweat. That's all they can do.
Well, John, this is an interesting election cycle. In fact, I would say one that's historic because of COVID-19, because of all the other dynamics going on with the emphasis on early voting, and now with, you know, a group of folks that said, hey, listen, I'm not voting early. I'm coming out on election day. And the different tactics both sides have taken. I mean, we've been out there knocking doors on a daily basis, been on the telephone talking to folks, you know, encouraging folks to vote, letting them know the opportunities to vote early if they so choose, but to make sure, too, that we have them down as voting by 7 o'clock today. And that's, I think, you know, one of the things that's interesting about this election cycle is there's so many different layers to it, whereas mm-hmm. before it was pretty simple, you know, get everybody out to vote on November the 3rd. You know, some folks would vote early because of work and other things. And, you know, now the laws in Virginia changing too, where it's now, you know, you can vote early without having to have a reason. That has opened up things too. So, you know, we've looked at it essentially as a layered approach, and that is beginning on September 15th. That's when the election begins, and you work each and every day to try to get folks out early. And then for those that don't, get them to the polls on November the 3rd. So it has to be a layered attempt. If you don't do that, then you're right. You lose out on a major portion of the number of votes that are needed to win the election. And I think that's critical in how elections today should be looked at. And I think it does change the complexity of elections in the future. I think there'll be, while we won't be hopefully in the throes of a pandemic, I do think that the dynamic of voting too, with what happens in this election cycle, is going to change.
John Frederick's Radio Network with Congressman Rob Whitman, Republican 1st District of Virginia, running for re-election today. He's expected to win a big victory and go back to Congress and hopefully go back with a Republican Congress, President Trump, for another 4 years. I'm confident Trump is going to win. I'm very confident the Republicans are going to hold the Senate. I'm going to predict right now that we're going to lose the Colorado seat. That one's gone. But I think McSally holds on. You're going to flip the seat in Alabama. Doug Jones, a dead duck. The football coach wins that. I can't say his name because he's the guy that abandoned us in Old Miss, so I just can't ever say his name. So whatever, Auburn coach said he would go out in a box, and next day he went out with caviar in a limo, so screw him. But he's going to win, and I'm sure he'll be a good senator. But for Ole Miss fans, he's anathema, as they say. So you're going to flip that seat. I think Tillis holds on in North Carolina. So if McSally and Tillis win, it's over. They can't win the Senate because they flip Alabama. Maybe we lose Colorado. I think that's dead. But I'll tell you the other thing, Rob. I never count Susan Collins out. I really mm-hmm. don't. I know all the polls show are behind. You know, she's been through this before. They always say she's going to lose. She manages to win. You know, I think Collins is going to win again in Maine. So I think the Republicans are going to be fine there. And I think in the House, you're going to get your friend Scott Taylor back. He's going to win, no question. He's going to win handily. And the Frieda Spanberger thing is going to be really, really close.
No, listen. I think Virginia is going to play out between the 2nd district and the 7th district, and it's all going to be about voter turnout and, you know, how folks respond to the contrast. So it'll be interesting to see.
Scott Taylor is going to win because he's going to carry Virginia Beach, and he's going to carry the peninsula, and he's going to carry Accomack, and that leaves really only Norfolk and Williamsburg for Loria. If she can't carry Virginia Beach, she's not going to win again. Taylor's going to carry Virginia Beach, race over. Rob Whitman, good luck tonight. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being a sponsor for our big show tonight, sir. Thank you.
John, thank you so much. Thanks for all that you do, and we look forward to your show this evening.
Rob Whitman, running for re-election, is going to win handily. But you got to run through the tape, Rob. That's why you're out there. John Frederick's Radio Network.
The John Frederick Show.
Let's get to Brandon in RVA. Brandon, you're live.
Hey, I just voted. I was there at 6 a.m. and there was a line out the door, and it was wonderful. But it went quick, about 20 minutes, but all of us there, we knew why we were there.
And what where are you? What area?
Actually in Hanover County.
Okay, so that's basically Republican, right? Trump country?
Yeah.
Okay, so big, huh? Go ahead.
I believe it is.
Yeah. All right, so big line there, and how is it? How is it compared to the way it normally is at six in the morning?
There's no. I mean, it's a school, so there's nobody there usually at 6 in the morning. But the whole parking lot was full, and it was hard to get a space. So
we're coming. I'm telling you, man, Brandon, Trump voters are coming. They're coming out,
yep.
Right? I'm getting these reports now via text. You know, precincts that are Republican, they normally have, you know, 8 people at 6 a.m. have 80. We're coming. We're coming all day. And I'm telling you, by 3 o'clock, Brandon, when this news gets out around these battleground states with these huge lines in Trump big precincts, as they're going to be in Virginia, the panic on the Democrats is going to set in. Spanberger's going down. Lori is going down. They're all going down today. It's over. We're woke. That's why I'm so fired up today. You can feel this wave in the last 72 hours. Let me give you one poll, right? That is the that I think is going to be the bellwether. The Des Moines Register, liberal poll, liberal paper, owned by Gannett, whoever bought Gannett out, whatever. Always off, always lib, always Democrat, right? Had Biden up by, you know, 8, 9, 10 in Iowa. Sunday's poll, Trump up 7. They didn't want to publish it, right? They didn't want to publish the poll. Just like they didn't want to publish the poll in the caucus where Sanders was up by 8, right? They thought there was something the matter with it. They didn't want to publish it. So they redid it, and he was up by 7 again. That's a wave, buddy. It's coming. We're coming.
Do you think that call it today, or do you think it's going to be 3 months of court battles and riots?
We're gonna win. Look, I mean, here's what's going to happen. If they call Florida at 10:30 p.m., it starts. The wave starts, right? Then they're going to have to call North Carolina. I mean, they can only hold this off if the outstanding mail-in ballots are over the number, if we're up in North Carolina by 50,000 and there's 10,000 outstanding ballots or 20,000, it doesn't matter. Even if there's 50,000 outstanding ballots and you're up by 50, Trump's going to win because they're not going to get 100%. So these things, it's going to be very difficult for them to weasel their way through this. And that's why I'm so confident. Okay, thank you. And who else we have, Kier? Oh, no, okay. 888-480-JOHN, 888-480-5646. Terry in Ashland says, Ashland is probably the bluest town in Hanover County. The polling station is dead as a doornail. Awesome. I love it, but they're not there. They already voted, and they underperformed. 888-480-JOHN, 888-480-5646, 888-480-5646. Text me 757-692-1710, and we're ready to roll right here, right? And I'm going to ask our engineer, John McCune, stay on call all night. Stay on call because we got to stay on the air, right? Can't let any problems happen at these stations. So we just aim to do that. John Frederick's Radio Network. And we have somebody, Kara, we got a phone issue?
No, check your phone.
Okay, thank you. And let's see what we got here. Stan from Chesapeake. Stan, you're live.
Hey, John. I wanted to let you know, I just voted at precinct off of Centerville. I got there at 5:30. There were about 50, 60 people in line, and they were rolling in as I got out of there about 10 minutes after 6.
In the Centerville?
Yeah, Centerville, right there, not far from Woods Corner, not too far from Butt Station.
That's our voters. I mean,
yes,
Centerville's
sir.
Big. Centerville's big. GOP. I mean, that we normally get, what, 62-65% of Centerville, right?
Yes, sir. And there's another church or two down the road that are polling stations as well that seem to be just as busy. So the talk at the Hardee's up the street there was actually very encouraging, if you know what I mean.
You were at the Hardee's?
Yes, sir.
I love that Hardee's.
It's
Hardee's
great.
Tastes better. Hardee's because it tastes better.
Yeah, I love it, and it was a great biscuit.
I love Hardee's. Hey, that's why I'm a little bit overweight, but man, I love Hardee's, McDonald's, Burger King. If I can get to a Hardee's, I'll do a Hardee's because it tastes better. I should be their spokesperson. Hardee's because it tastes better. But I tell you what, people that go to Hardee's, Trump voters, all of them.
Yes, sir.
No liberals go to Hardee's.
I'm going to do you a favor, John. Since you can't get out of the studio to get the Hardee's, I'm going to go grab an extra one and eat it on your behalf.
You got a big heart, Stan. Stan the man.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Let's see what we got here. Mike from New Hampshire. Mike, you're live.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Mike, I'm great.
I am too. Hey, I just want to ask you a question. I liked your logic. So if Trump is up by 50 in, say, Florida, 50,000 votes, and there's less than 50,000 outstanding, we should give it to Trump. I totally agree with that. What if the shoe's on the other foot? Is the president going to concede?
Concede what? The states are
Florida. Concede Florida. Concede
well, when you lose the state, the other guy gets the votes. I don't know what you're saying. I have no idea.
My point.
What
my
you
point
mean.
Is my point. My point is he gonna honor that, or is he gonna say
if
oh,
Biden
no,
if Biden gets to, if Biden gets legitimately 270 votes, Joe Biden's gonna get inaugurated January 20th. That's it. Done.
Yeah, I know. You're hedging.
I don't know what you're asking me, Mike. Okay, ask it again clearly. Ask it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, let me be
and then
clear.
I'm done. Ask it.
In your example,
yes.
You said if Trump is up by 50,000,
right.
And there's less than 50,000 mail-in votes left to be cast,
the networks will call Florida for Trump if the outstanding mail-in ballots are less than the margin that he's ahead by. I mean, an imbecile would do that,
right? All right. Well, you're talking about networks. That means nothing. So, okay, I understand.
I don't even know what your question is, Mike. Look, Mike, you're gonna lose.
My question
Get
is,
over
is
it.
That Trump isn't going to concede.
Yeah, whatever, Mike. Bye. Next, I'm done, Mike. That's just the nonsense. Look, the meltdown with the Democrats is starting now, right? This is a typical call. Trump's not going to concede. Trump's going to win. He's not going to have to concede. I mean. Hillary's the one that said Biden isn't going to concede. But I'm not going to ruin my day with the Mike's nonsense of the world. The Democrats are already starting to melt down, and it is 6:49 a.m. This is going to be the greatest day in history because our people are coming out, and they can't do anything about it. They can't get their people out. I knew it was over when Obama went to Flint, Michigan on Saturday. President Barack Obama, loved figure, goes to Michigan, 18 people there in a car circle or whatever they do, waving his arms, yelling and screaming about blacks have to get out and vote on Election Day. Excuse me? You and your party told everybody not to vote on Election Day because you might die. Now all of a sudden you got to vote on Election Day because you're looking at the same numbers that we are and you're going to get crushed today. On game day.
You're listening to the John Frederick Show. Common sense for the Commonwealth. On great radio stations across Virginia and online anytime at thejohnfrederickshow.com.
So beat it.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump is not accepting defeat in the presidential election. He tweets, quote, "I won this election by a lot." In fact, he claims a lot of what he calls bad things happen when it comes to Republican ballot counting observers. He notes that, in his words, millions of mail-in ballots were sent to people who never asked for them. Missouri Senator Roy Blunt told ABC's This Week it's time for the president's lawyers to make their case in court. The president hopes those legal challenges will reverse the result. At a press conference of his own, an acceptance speech, it was President-elect Joe Biden saying he won 74 million votes, the most ever cast for a presidential ticket, and he does consider himself the president-elect, even though it still faces court challenges over the counting procedures in Pennsylvania and elsewhere. Tropical Storm Ada on its way toward the Florida Keys could arrive tonight or tomorrow and regain hurricane strength before it gets there. This is SRN News.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Mostly cloudy skies this weekend, and with a 40% chance of rain through tonight, up to about 81, down to 73 this evening. 70% chance of rain Monday and Monday night. High Monday, 80, low Monday night, 73. And a 50% chance of rain Tuesday through the rest of the week. Overnight lows around 70, daytime highs into the lower 80s.
The United States is among the most dangerous developed nations in which to give birth. It's not fine. But together, we can do something about it. Help March of Dimes give every mom and baby the best possible start. Sign up today and join us at March for Babies to walk alongside thousands of supporters to raise awareness and funds to fight for the health of all moms and babies. Register now at marchforbabies.org.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handymen, painters, and many other home contractors. It's easy and it's free. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
It's Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Join us Monday morning, 6 a.m. right here on Talk Radio WBOB. Folks, we're probably not going to find out who won, but the numbers are going to be scrutinized, and we'll do it, and everybody else will be doing it. Coming up Monday morning, Roger.
We won't have the answer, but it'll be fun to talk about who we think it will be.
And this lawsuit election will continue to go on for another week. We'll see where all of this goes. We'll have the latest updates Monday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio WBOB.
They don't call him the commander of common sense for nothing.
I'm not a wholly owned subsidiary of the Republican National Committee, the Democrat National Committee, any campaign or anybody else. So I'm going to call it like I see it.
Guess who got out of the wrong side of the bed this morning?
Make sure to get your big boy pants on. No crybaby diapers.
There's no crying in baseball.
Here on the John Frederick Show.
It's been a long night for all of us as Pete Snyder. Pete's entrepreneur ran the 30-day fund, which is the VA 30-day fund, which has helped out so many small businesses across the Commonwealth of Virginia. And Pete is with us now. Pete, thanks for calling in today, Pete.
Hey, Johnny, wouldn't want to start my day any other way. It's a gorgeous morning here in Charlottesville, Virginia. We got a brand new congressman in Bob Good. Everyone said that he couldn't win. He was outspent, I don't know, 2-1, 3-1 by the Liberals, and he came through in excellent fashion. So we're looking good on Virginia's fifth. But hats off to you, John Fredericks. Think about all the lies that have been told, all the countless hours on the airwaves telling you how stupid you are and how the president would be repudiated all across the Commonwealth, that we didn't have a chance. All the, you know, the political pundits and the media that just lied and lied and lied. And you're the only one who believed, John. And God bless. While the president's not gonna eke out Virginia, it's a hell of a lot closer and a much, much different picture than was professionally painted by the mainstream media and the liars out there. God bless. It is criminal what has happened. Absolutely criminal.
When is there going to be an accounting? When is there a level of accountability for the fake polls, the fake news, the liars? I mean, we were told for months and months and months that this was going to... We had Ben Tribbett on Monday saying that this was going to be a Mondale-esque blowout. It was going to be worse than McGovern. And look, I love Ben. He's a friend of mine, and so do you. But that was just one of many. These left-wing pundits, they were so wrong on everything. Washington Post, all the way down. When are they held accountable?
But, you know, it needs to start today, John. You know, and what they do is they try to pin it all on Donald Trump. Oh, Donald Trump stretches the truth. He does this and he does that. All these folks, they lie about the origins of this virus. They lie about the ramifications from it on your health and on the economy. They lie about President Trump's policies. They lie about what is going to happen. I mean, there is a reason why Americans do not trust institutions. They don't trust Wall Street. They don't trust the Beltway and the pundits in Washington. They don't trust the media. And they're hungry for someone to shoot straight with them. That's why Donald Trump did so damn well across the country. Why he did so well with Latino population, with minorities. You know, these people have been lying, saying that Republicans are racist and saying that there's no hope for growth of the Republican Party or conservative principles. In fact, there's tons of room for growth. It's called broadening your appeal. It's called reaching out to minorities and showing folks that you don't allow rioting in your cities, that you want to reopen your businesses and be safe doing so. That's the path forward. And I got to tell you, it's just, you have been telling the truth from day one. And God bless you for doing it. Millions of dollars were averted from helping you in Virginia, because these clowns said that it was a lost cause. It was a very winnable race. Imagine what would have happened if you had $40 million dumped into Virginia, John.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think we got a total of $3.2 million, which I spent all on literature and science, or maybe $3.5 million, something like that.
Well, it had a heck of an impact in your backyard.
Well, we had 12 paid staff. And just to give you a juxtaposition, Florida had 250, Pennsylvania had 195. We had 12. So I got to tell you, per capita, we got per capita and per dollar, we got the best results for Trump anywhere in America. If you wanted to divide it out by the number of paid people and money we had, and look, you know, the highlight of Virginia was when CNN had to call back their 701. Calling of Virginia, they had to walk it back. So that was pretty funny. But look, Pete, I want to talk about Virginia. But first, I want to give an update on the Nick Freitas race. I just talked to Nick when we were at the top of the hour break. Here's exactly where we are. Nick has a 272-vote lead over Abigail Spanberger. He's got 199,786 to Spanberger's 199,513. So he's got a 287-vote lead. Everything has come in now. Everything has been counted in the 7th District, Pete, except for absentee ballots in Spotsylvania. So that is the last precinct to come in. And Nick says it's 50-50. I mean, they think, you know, Spotsylvania, not exactly Spanberger country, but early voting, you know, tends to favor her.
Sure. Well, I got to tell you, Nick has run such an incredible race.
He
wonderful
really has.
Guy. Right on the issues, right on the Constitution. And he is, yeah, I think he's going to win. I think he's going to pull this off. And he's going to be a force of nature up there in Washington for his district and for the entire Commonwealth. Amazing race.
We continue to lose Chesterfield County. Spanberger won that by 15,000 votes. I mean, there was a time where we used to win Chesterfield by 20,000. Now that seems to be gone. Freitas winning Culpeper.
Let's talk about that for a second, Johnny. What kind of, you know, I know Nick, you know, personally I supported Nick, and I know a lot of folks in Virginia and all around the country supported Nick. He had a lot of money poured into the district. He had a ton of money poured against him. But what other help was brought in there, right? I mean, again, you know, if Virginia used to be a battleground state, the smart guys and the pundits and the pollsters and the liars in the media have convinced folks that it is no longer competitive. That's simply not true. Imagine if there were $20, $40, $60, $80 million poured into Virginia, what would have happened?
We would have had a much different result, right? I mean, we got no help. Even Freitas got outspent. I mean, Spanberger outspent him like something like 8-1, right? The level of these getting up. Freitas won almost every other county except those. He got beaten in Henrico and Chesterfield. You know, one Louisa, one Goochland, one Ottawa, etc. was able to win those. I think he wins. In the second district, not so much. It's very disappointing results for Scott Taylor there. Pete, I thought, you know, Scott had the lead for the majority of the night. Norfolk just came in huge. Norfolk and Williamsburg came in very, very big for Loria, and that seems to have put her over the top there.
Well, that's a shame. You know, Scott served his country well in the armed forces. He's a Navy SEAL. He served well in Congress. I would have loved to have had him back there. Burson and I helped him out a whole lot and consider him a friend. And, you know, hopefully that there's a future for Scott. We need him. He's a fighter. But disappointing results in the second.
He's behind right now with 15,000. There's really no math for him to make that up. What was surprising to me, though, is he lost James City County to Loria by 1,200 votes. And everybody was telling me that he was overperforming there. But he lost James City County. She won Norfolk City by 3,000. She won Northampton by 1,000. But what put her over the top is, once again, she carried Virginia Beach, which was interesting, Pete, because, you know, we saw splitting of votes yesterday that we haven't seen in a lot of other instances, where it went Trump and then Dyer and Loria. So, I mean, Bobby Dyer won a big victory in Virginia Beach. I mean, he's basically the Republican candidate there, but Loria carried Virginia Beach by 12,000. That basically put her over the top. She also won Williamsburg by 3,000. So you add those two in, and even in York County, where Scott Taylor was supposed to overperform there, all the early numbers we saw, he only won by 2,000. So Loria gets reelected in the second district.
Well, it wasn't helpful that the NRCC cut and run on Scott in the closing weeks of the campaigns. They reallocated money elsewhere. That wasn't to his benefit at all. And again, it was, your neck of the woods and Tidewater tends to flip flop. I think it will continue to flip flop. And we're going to have to put a lot of effort in there and get the right candidates. But if there's one message coming out of last night, it's one: don't trust these liars in the punditry class and in the mainstream media. And two, Virginia is very much still alive, very viable for a two-party system, and there is going to be a reckoning for the overreach that the Democrats are doing right now.
How do you win Virginia? How do you turn the corner and make Virginia competitive in a non-presidential year?
Well, John, it's actually doing what you do every day, which is you believe and you talk about principles and you talk about getting our economy going and doing it safely. And you talk about making sure that we don't allow this ridiculous violence in our cities. The fact that we were boarding up major metropolitan areas because we were worried that the other side wouldn't like the outcome or the result, it's complete and utter crap. And you believe and you fight. again, I go back to what I said before. All these people have lied and said that Virginia is not competitive whatsoever. The entire nation found out last night that, indeed, it is competitive. They were surprised on many levels. Imagine if you had the investment and the resources. You know, I know you have the president's ear. He calls you No Drama Johnny. But imagine if the clowns that had convinced folks not to invest in Virginia anymore actually put the pedal to the metal. What would have happened?
It would have been different. I mean, there's no question about it. I think you have to look at Virginia and say, if you're going to be competitive here, you've got to keep your foot in the gas. I mean, you got to be able to do that, you know, because we proved, you know, we can get a turnout in these rural areas. I mean, and now here's the good news. We have all the voting records, right? Like, we know who turned out. We know who voted. And now we have a much better opportunity of getting them out again. We didn't really have that after 2016. We didn't really have the data that we're going to have now, Pete.
Well, and also you got to compete and win. In Northern Virginia, you got to compete. And the coalition that you put together is very much what the president did nationwide last night. You look at people who are small business owners, hardworking folks, people that work for a wage, and you talk about the economy, you talk about keeping them safe, you talk about making sure that our constitutional principles, things like the First Amendment and the Second Amendment that Virginia invented, aren't going to be stripped away. And you go out there and you hustle and you win. You know, we have to compete in Northern Virginia. I think the results last night proved that there is a path to slim down the margin. I think Chesterfield is gettable. I think we can do even better in Tidewater area, your neck of the woods, and you run up the score elsewhere. But you have to do it in a non-BS way. You know, Donald Trump is a once-in-a-generation talent. He was a celebrity before he ever got into politics. People know him. They take him, you know, warts and all. And he's willing to get out there, roll up his sleeves, and get the job done. So, you know, what we can't have is the same old crap. That's not going to run up the score in other parts of Virginia. We need truth tellers out there. We need people who can get results. And if we do all those things, yeah, we're going to win. Here's the funny thing is the other side's not going to learn a damn thing from last night. You know that, John, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going to take any – the same old overreach is going to happen in Richmond. The same old ridiculous policies, the same kowtowing to the left and the Antifa rioters out there. They're not going to learn a damn thing. And that's they're going to do that at their peril.
Nothing is going to change, Pete. I agree with you in that. I think that's pretty spot on because it's only going to get worse. As far as when I say worse, as the Democrats in Virginia, Caucus of the Corn, etc., they're only going to get more liberal, more radical, feel more emboldened, etc. Right?
Well, you know who's going to be sweating it tonight or this morning? Who's mm-hmm. really sweating it?
Who?
Is Terry McAuliffe, who so desperately wants to grab back power in the governor's mansion. He is at a step where his party is. I'm sorry, this isn't the repudiation that he promised and all the ridiculous things he said about the president and calling him a clown and all that kind of crap. He's got to be sweating it. He is out of step with the insanity in his own party, and he's been trying to hug it. He is in for a rude awakening if he tries to hop back in the arena.
Well, Pete, let me ask you this. The game day's over. I still think that you look at these numbers. Trump is going to win. Right? You've got now Bob Casey saying that Biden's going to win Pennsylvania. Trump's got a 700,000 vote
lead.
Well,
what else is Bob Casey going to say? Right?
I mean, what exactly? I mean,
what
it's like
a
and it's like coming over the news like on a chyron. Like Bob Casey says, when all the votes are counted, Biden's going to win Pennsylvania.
That.
What the hell? Exactly. What is he going to say? Oh, we're gonna lose. I mean, they have to keep the narrative up, right? But we're going
absolutely.
To win Michigan.
These people are think of the money that they wasted in South Carolina and Kansas and the orgy of those Act Blue dollars that the liberals in Hollywood sent in. All completely evaporated, gone. I'm telling you, if there is not a reckoning on the left, they are in for trouble in the years ahead. And, you know, they won't learn a single damn lesson.
This just in, I don't know, should we believe Bob Casey or would you believe Joe Scarborough? What do you think? Joe Scarborough says Biden can't win Pennsylvania. There's no math to make up 700,000 votes. Of course he can't, right? You can't make 700,000 up. So Scarborough says, I would like to know, anybody is watching MSNBC, are they melting down now? And what happened to their Mondale-esque landslide? Are they melting down? I mean, or they're just scheming how to, like, steal it now?
Why do you think they paused voting? I mean, seriously, when you're in trouble and you're losing a battleground state and you have all your henchmen in charge of the voting operation, why do you think they stopped voting, John?
They stopped counting the ballots.
You stop counting the ballots. Why? Because you got to get a plan and say, oh, my gosh, we're going to lose this thing. We got to manufacture. We got to find these votes. That's what went on. In swing state after swing state. Surprise! Guess what? You don't like the results you're getting? Oh, we're just going to stop. We're going to pack it in for the night.
I mean, they just get on
our conference calls, figure out what command and control.
Like, whoever heard of this, where you just go home and so we'll count them tomorrow. You just go home. Whoever heard of this? I mean, I remember, I remember in 1968 staying up with my father. That was Nixon, Humphrey, Wallace, and they called, I guess, whatever put Nixon over the top. I really don't remember what state it was, but I remember it was called at 7 in the morning. Like, we were eating breakfast. My father was up all night. He was a blue-collar worker. I got up. I was in the fifth grade or whatever. I got up to go to school, and I remember the black-and-white TV on it. They'd called Illinois or something for Nixon to put him over the top. They counted ballots all night. Now we just stopped counting at midnight. What the hell's that about?
It's because people got to go get on their conference calls. They got to get their marching orders. We got to manufacture or harvest these ballots somewhere that can prop up the lies that have been told for years, right?
Yeah. Well, Pete, now let me just ask you this. I mean, you've seen the results of Virginia. Game day is over. Where are you on your decision making and whether or not you're going to run for governor? Straight up.
Well, I'm looking at one person and one person only that I'm sweating, and that's Johnny Fredericks. I mean, I've been out in the grassroots. I've been working hard with Nick Freitas and Bob Good and helping out Scott Taylor and many others across the Commonwealth. And I hear a recurrent theme, and that's the John Fredericks boomlet out there.
It's
the soul
it's
truth
coming.
Teller. I mean,
Godzilla,
I'm telling you, like, hey, do I want to tangle with Godzilla? I don't know about that.
Well, we're doing a poll on the 10th, and if I'm over 15%, I'm getting in.
God bless you, Johnny. Keep telling
it's
the truth.
Me.
Keep fighting, my
it's
friend.
It's me, a Amanda, baby. John Fredericks Radio Network. Mike from New Hampshire. Mike, you're live.
Hey, good morning, John.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm better than I deserve. Hey, thanks for the education about Arizona. I did not realize that they were a historically mail-in state, so that makes some sense. I was trying to figure it out this morning with my wife about the Fox calling Arizona and other people not calling out. So that I didn't realize that, so thanks for the education on that.
You got it.
I do have to mention one thing, though, is that maybe this is a discussion for another day, but you headed up the Trump campaign in Virginia.
Yes.
You hit your target.
Yes.
You hit your target in 2 million votes.
Yep.
And those votes are because of our outdated, antiquated, stupid electoral college system. Those 2 million votes are as irrelevant as my single vote for Joe Jorgensen I cast in Colorado. So, I mean, don't you think it's time to just ditch the Electoral College so that all that work that you did and those people count?
No, because once you ditch the Electoral College, you've got the elites on both coasts that are going to decide every election. San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Detroit, these are going to decide the elections. Then your vote in Wyoming doesn't mean anything. Nobody will ever go there. So, no, I like the electoral system, win or lose. I think the founding fathers were brilliant when they put this in. And, you know, I'm fine with it. But, look, I hit my target, and instead, last time I got beat by 4.5. This time I got beat by 9, and we met our target. I mean, it's Virginia's unbelievable. it's almost you look at the numbers, and you're like, okay, I did exactly what we had to do with – and we got no resources here. I mean, I had 12 full-time people.
They wrote you off, didn't they? You were probably written off
early on. Telling them we were going to hit the target. And so the Trump campaign was like, well, if you hit 2 million, you know, this thing. That's why when I kept saying this thing was within 3, because all I was tracking was getting to the 2 million. And I knew we were getting there. And I had a great team. And we had 7,000 volunteers. I had 12 paid staff. I mean, my director here, Justin Rice, I mean, this kid got up. He worked 18, 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. And there was no drama here. Not, you know, I had drama in 2016. It was a little bit different, right? No drama. Everybody just got up, knocked on doors, put their forms in, got their voters out, hit the target. We got blown out. We got absolutely smoked.
You just picked the wrong. You just picked the wrong target, John.
We got smoked. I mean, we got smoked. It's like they got 2 point. The Democrats turned out 2 point. I was like, how do you get 2.4 million people? Like, where did they come from? You know, you start looking at the numbers. I mean, last time we lost those three cities, right? Arlington, Alexandria, and Fairfax by 180,000. This time we lost them by 500,000. I mean, it's unbelievable. I just don't know. I don't know what the answer is here. They just got a lot of Democratic voters, and they turn out. They turn them out. They're motivated. So, good
but
for
John,
them.
John, just I to mean, go back to my original
they did a good
question,
job.
Though, but why do you think a person in Wyoming should have more voting power than a person in Texas?
Because
or a person
we're
in
set
California?
Up. We don't. We have a state-based system. States are independent to a certain extent. I mean, states make their own decision. We have states' rights. People move to states for different reasons. Otherwise, there'd be no states. There'd just be one federal. You know, we'd have provinces. Or we'd have geographical territories. You know, the founding fathers put up a statewide system. And states have a certain degree of autonomy and independence. I mean, you even look with the COVID-19, you know, what they're doing in Florida is quite different than what they're doing in New York or Connecticut or Massachusetts. So I'm a believer in the electoral college. Win or lose.
I understand that point. I understand that point. But to me, it seems like if you do the math and you look at what the voting power is in somebody in Wyoming or Vermont, whether it's a red or a blue, I don't care. The number there is just phenomenal, how much more voting power they have. And I don't get it. I don't see why somebody in Wyoming gets a more voting power than a guy in California or wherever. It just doesn't make
sense
to me. Well,
you know, we can agree to disagree. Mike, thank you. Trump's going to win again when it's all said and
done. Oh, no, I think you're done. I think you're toast. Put a fork in you, but you're done. That's okay.
We're going to keep fighting.
You're listening to the John Frederick Show. Common sense for the Commonwealth. On great radio stations across Virginia and online anytime at thejohnfrederickshow.com.